So we have a really strange gospel passage today. It's a cobbling together of two passages, actually. And they're Mark's summary bits around the main happenings. It starts with the 12 returning from having been sent out to proclaim the kingdom and trying to get to a deserted place for some rest. But in the missing verses between the two sections described, there's actually the feeding of the 5,000 and the account of Jesus walking on the water to the boat and the wind. So and then there's the second section of today's reading, which is about his healing mission all over the region. So despite this funny sort of cobbling together of two sort of summary bits, there's actually a whole lot in this I think we can get for today. And a lot of it is to do with Jesus caring. So I'll bring that out. The first verse is about the return of the disciples from being sent out in their first mission of their own. They were sent out by Jesus, and so they report back to him. They know that they are accountable to him for what they did and what they said, as he commissioned them. He sent them out for this mission of proclaiming the kingdom of God. And this sort of accountability to those who commission us is still important today, I think, though it's not always practiced in our society. It's why we as vicars, for example, are accountable to our bishop in the Anglican Church Order, as our bishop commissioned us to minister in this church in our license and our service of institution. Now, you can think of accountability as something that doesn't sit well with us these days, because it implies a sort of authority structure that we're not so keen on sort of authority these days. But actually, this is about Jesus caring for what the disciples did in their ministry. And when we are commissioned for Christian service in whatever role we may have, it is because the person who commissions us, who delegates that ministry to us, actually cares about that ministry being done. That means that we need to be able to respond and say, well, this is what we did. This is how we tried to fulfill that ministry that you care about. And that's what accountability is in a Christian sense. And then Jesus, in his care for them, calls them to retreat to a deserted place to rest. They've just been involved in intensive ministry, so getting time to recuperate is obviously important. But this is not just about rest. Mark says they were surrounded by people still. Many were coming and going. And that they didn't even have time to eat. They had no leisure even to eat. Now, they obviously needed to get away from people for a while. But the detail about having leisure to eat is particularly significant. Eating was not just about getting fuel to replenish your strength in those days. Eating a meal was about sitting down, reclining, to take time to talk and have fellowship around the table. It was about having conversation and reconnecting, a bit like a family sharing a meal at the end of the day and catching up with what you've each been doing and where you're going to go the next day, perhaps. Jesus recognized that the disciples needed to catch up with each other and spend time with him too. And likewise, the people of today need to regularly keep on, the people of God need to regularly keep on gathering around the table to be reconnected with one another and with Jesus, to re-establish those bonds of kinship, our Christian brother and sisterhood, as you might say. And having that sort of leisurely meal too, in conversation with one another, is the beginning of rest. The Jewish Sabbath day, the day of rest, begins with the Sabbath meal, a meal on the Friday evening after sundown, the way they count a day from sundown to sundown. Just a time of really spending time with each other. It's not just a meal to get food in us. And then there's the phrase, you know, they kept to go away by yourselves. That phrase, by yourselves, by themselves, is used throughout the Gospels for when Jesus draws his disciples apart to have them listen to him, to listen to his teaching. He was wanting to give them more as they rested. And even though they'd enjoyed a successful mission, they still had much to learn. And so, just in the first two verses of this little summary passage, that we have something that says something about Jesus' priorities for us. To be accountable to those who commission us for service, because they care for what we're doing. To not always be working, but rather to take time to rest and recuperate. To spend times of leisurely fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters. A slow meal is ideal for this. To spend time in the conversation and listening to each other. And what Jesus also may be saying among us. And to be taking time to learn more and more from Jesus, even when we've just been proficiently doing what he has sent us to do. These are what Jesus wanted even for his closest disciples. It's his care for them, and it's what we would surely seek if we are to be his disciples today too. So they then get in the boat to travel further along the coast of the Sea of Galilee to a place that normally there wouldn't be many people. However, as they traveled in the boat, perhaps it wasn't much of a wind and so they had to row, so they just kept close to the shore, but anyway, people saw them from the shore, obviously. And they hurried ahead of them. And they gathered even more from the nearby villages, so that by the time they came back to the shore in this region that was not so inhabited, there were actually about 5,000 men, we're told later, that were fed, plus the women and children. They were already there. And we know that this place was, you know, quite away from the local towns. So, you know, the idea was sent when was given that just before they were fed by Jesus that they should even try and go back. But, so 5,000 people, that sounds like an awful lot, or 5,000 plus. But actually, it's estimated that at that time the population of the whole Galilee region was several hundred thousand. So that's in the historical sources outside of the Bible at the time. So for thousands of people to gather quickly is actually quite feasible. So the only time that the disciples actually got to be alone with Jesus was in that time in the boat. And if they were rowing rather than sailing, it would have been not much conversation, I expect. So, what was Jesus' reaction to seeing all these people waiting for them, to seeing the crowd? It wasn't annoyance that his plans for his rest and refreshment and conversation and teaching would not come about, but rather compassion. And the word here has a sense of a gut-wrenching feeling. It's used just a couple of times and it's always used of Jesus. They believe that the feelings came from the gut, but it's a really strong word, sort of a gut-wrenching feeling. It's the word that our word for spleen comes from. I won't try and pronounce it. It was sounded a bit like that. So why did he feel like this? It's because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And throughout the Old Testament, the people of God were described as this whenever they were without good leadership. Now, in New Zealand, we know a bit about sheep. They don't see very well. They hear a bit better, but they easily get scared and scattered by sharp noises. And they don't think much about where they're going. They tend to just keep their heads down and follow the next tuft of grass, wander from one tuft of grass to the next. They also like to stick together or follow the one in front whenever they're moving. The people of God are described as sheep, as in some ways they have similar characteristics. People without leadership, without direction, will react to what they hear without really seeing where they are going. And just like sheep, they like to stick together with the others that are around them, to be in groups. We too need the direction that a God-appointed leader will give us. Jesus described his people as sheep, and God often provided that leadership, the shepherding they needed to be able to move with the feeling of safety they needed in staying together, but also in the right direction to get the sustenance they needed for life. You know, we can all relate to that 23rd Psalm. So what did Jesus' shepherd heart for the people provide? What did his compassion lead him to do for them? Teach them many things. Well, we often think about compassion as about seeing someone suffering and that it should lead to meeting their physical needs. But Jesus had compassion on them as he saw that most of all they were lacking that leadership and direction. And so he taught them. Mark sets out Jesus as the shepherd who feeds his people with true teaching. From his supply, there is more than enough to feed all their needs. The people cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that comes from the mouth of God, brought to them in the teaching of Jesus. You know, you can't really separate pastoral care from teaching the word. And we know that the sort of teaching he provided from the many gospel accounts we have of it, teaching that the kingdom of God had come in himself, demonstrated in his healing and his freeing people from demons, teaching that included instructions for living life in God's kingdom, bearing the good fruit of living under God's reign. Such things as loving your neighbour and your enemy, and praying for those who persecute you, unlimited forgiveness and not judging others' faults, not worrying about your needs or accumulating wealth, but being generous and just asking God for what you need. That what is inside is important, lustful or murderous thoughts, evil intentions, or stealing, lying, and slandering, that these are what defile people. That we're not just to do good to be seen by others, but to be humble. That we're to put God and obeying his ways first, even if it involves self-sacrifice. That not everyone wants to follow Jesus and live according to his ways, but that this has eternal consequences. All this and much more we know is the sort of teaching that Jesus gave and his love for people. Not head knowledge, but instructions about living in God's kingdom, living that full and fruitful life that God has for those who would humbly come to him. And this is what Jesus knew people really needed as they swarmed to him. And this is what Jesus would bring us His sheep now too is our shepherd. And then after the feeding of the multitude and the incident where Jesus walks on the water toward the boat in the wind, which we don't actually have in our story, they reach the shore at Gennesaret. Now this was a flattish and much more fertile area between Tiberias and Capernaum on the edge of the Lake of Galilee. And it was much more populated. And once again, people recognize him and rush to him. And here it's not too far for them to bring with them those who are sick on their bed mats to be healed. And they are passing the word around about where he was and bringing the sick to the marketplaces, the public places, the natural public gathering places in each area he went to. And Mark mentions another significant detail here. The people were begging to touch even the fringe of his cloak to be healed. That fringe would have been the tassels of a traditional Jewish garment. And this shows that Jesus was a Torah observant Jew of his day. Those tassels were a symbol of the commandments and of obedience to them. Obeying God and his word was important to Jesus, even as he was teaching people how to do that too. People were reaching out to touch the word of God, you might say, the new word of God in Jesus, who teaches, feeds, and heals. So just even in these odd summary statements, Mark has given us insights today about how Jesus came proclaiming God's kingdom, teaching and demonstrating what life in God's kingdom involves. Jesus is full of compassion and care for everyone, as all need that direction and feeding, like sheep who need a shepherd. And for those who do hear and respond to his call and follow him as his disciples. We have the choice as to whether we reach out and touch him, whether we take the time together to listen to him and decide to follow his ways, to follow his lead as our shepherd. So out of this, let us pray for all that Jesus cares about. Let us pray.